Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we will tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Many of you will know that there was a fire that affected the manse garden last year, and a couple of the mature trees at the far end were severely burnt, so much so that the fire brigade had to extinguish the flames on them. And this photo shows the damage to the trees. It's a bit dark, I'm afraid, on the screen. It looked like they might die because the damage was so extensive. But come this spring, new buds emerged on many of the branches, and this is what they look like now. There's still some damage, still some dead branches, but new life from death, resurrection. There's another species of plant whose Latin name is Selaginella lipidophila. And it's native to the Sichuan Desert in the United States and Mexico. Lipidophila is renowned for its ability to survive becoming almost completely desiccated. And when water is available, it resumes its normal metabolic activity upon rehydration. When it dries up in the wild, it also rolls itself up into a ball and rolls along with the wind until it finds some water, when it comes back to life. The common name of Selaginella lipidophila is the resurrection plant. New life from death. Resurrection. This Easter season is drawing to a close, and we've been reflecting on what the resurrection might mean for us. The ongoing and always presence of Jesus in our lives, the heaven to earth reality of the new gift of life now in the present because of the resurrection of Jesus in the past, the enduring truth of Christ being raised, which can hold us secure knowing the resurrection power of God in our lives. That the joy of the resurrection can help us live in the midst of whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. But I think one of the greatest words we can connect with the resurrection is that of hope. And hope is a simple four-letter word. It can seem quite insubstantial, but Christian hope is far from insubstantial. It's certain, it's confident, it's real. Those of us who belong to Christ are assured that just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead, so we too will be resurrected on that great and glorious day when the new creation fully comes. This is our message of hope to the world, a real embodied hope in the risen Jesus, hope for the present that leads into a future with God. The non-Christian photojournalist George Gittos, witnessed this story as he was with a UN medical team in Rwanda at the time of their civil war. It was horrific. We saw thousands of women and children killed before our eyes. We were going in and getting wounded people out as the people were macheting, shooting, and killing. Suddenly there was this guy standing in the middle of the people who were dying all around him. He just began giving this sermon, mingling English and French and Rwandan, quoting sections of the New Testament, those bits that would give hope, passages to do with the resurrection. In the midst of all of that horror, somebody was offering hope, Christian hope, making people feel human, spiritually alive, giving them some courage and faith. The medical team could do very little, despite all their skills in technology. But with the risen Christ, there was always a hope for eternity. Yet this confident hope for a future wasn't always one that was securely held, it seems, for Christians. Because in our reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have Paul informing the church in Thessalonica of some implications of the resurrection. Now, as we read these words, we need to remember something important. This was a very young church in Thessalonica. A very young church as part of a very young Christian movement overall. This was probably the first letter we have preserved that Paul writes in our New Testaments, written around 50 AD, written not long after Paul's visit to the Thessalonica where he founds the church. And at this stage, Christian theology is still emerging. It wasn't quite being made up on the spot, but Christian theology was being constructed to respond to the situations that the church faced. So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have Paul sharing his wisdom on a subject that he previously hadn't shared with the church. Because up until that point, there'd been no need. The issue at hand seems that there was one or possibly more of the Thessalonian congregation who died. And the rest of the congregation were worried about what would happen to that person because the second coming of Jesus hadn't already occurred. In the first years of the early church, there was an expectation that the return of Jesus was imminent. And it is, because it's always been imminent. It's just not yet happened, like Southampton winning the Premier League. The general belief about death in Greek-influenced world at the time was essentially, when you're dead, you're dead. And the Thessalonians were coming from this background. So they were worried that when people in the church had died, there was no hope for them because Jesus hadn't come back. Hopelessness was the general feeling in the face of death. The Roman poet Calatus wrote, "The sun can set and rise again, but once our brief light sets, there is no one unending night to be slept through." And Paul is writing here to offer reassurance and encouragement to these relatively new believers. And Paul begins by addressing their grief. He doesn't say that they shouldn't grieve. It's not that they shouldn't have sorrow that someone has died. But it's just that those who are in Christ don't need to experience sorrow in the same way as those who lack Christian hope. And then he goes on to let them know why. And the why is that answer to every Sunday school question. Jesus. Jesus and his resurrection. If the Thessalonians believe in Jesus' resurrection, this sets them up to believe that those who are in Christ when they die will be raised at the time of Jesus' second coming. As he later wrote to the Corinthians in words that possibly show his more developed thoughts, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man." For a follower of Christ, death is the transition to something more. And we have this hope in what God will do for us based on what he's already done in Christ. And Paul then moves on to share the implications of this with the Thessalonians in what's become one of the most misinterpreted passages in the whole of Scripture. Paul describes within the limits of human language a divine event, using metaphors, from the apocalyptic parts of the Old Testament and Jewish writing, using images similar to the ones Jesus uses about the second coming, and descriptions of the way that emperors and kings visited ancient cities. Paul doesn't know literally what is going to happen when Jesus returns, because Jesus hasn't yet come back. So he can't tell him what literally is going to happen. Paul's describing something he's not experienced, so this is not an exact description. Paul's words give us insight, but they're mainly there to give us hope and a sense of wonder at what's coming when Jesus returns. Paul's language shares the vision of a truly great king coming, the risen Lord Jesus in all his heavenly splendor. And the first order of business when the king arrives is that the dead will be called to join the living, so that all God's people, past and present, will be there before their king. And then Paul shares some wonderful words, but words that have sparked too much speculation in some. He writes, "We who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." The words "caught up" in Greek are the words harpazo, which was translated into Latin as rapio, from which we get the word rapture. However, the experience that Paul is describing is nothing to do with some kind of secret rapture. This was invented by the dispensationalists in the 19th century and something that the authors of the Left Behind series of books poorly dramatized in the 20th century. This rapture isn't a secret, but it's a whacking great celebration for all who are in Christ. The rapture is that we will be caught up in the presence of Jesus when he returns, the living and the dead, in the air, joining Jesus in that place between where he is and where we are. And the emphasis in that sentence is on the words, "We will be with the Lord forever." It's not that some will be left behind and some are taken. All who are in Christ, both living and dead, will be joined with Christ. The Thessalonians were just worried about whether their sisters and brothers in Christ who'd already died were going to be able to experience the wonder of Christ's return, whether they were going to miss the party. And Paul's answer to this is a resounding no. They and all who are in Christ will be with the Lord forever. These are words of hope to the Thessalonians in the midst of a culture that only believed in hopelessness beyond death. And they are words of hope to us. And we are in the midst of a culture that where many only see hopelessness beyond death as well. A short while ago, I read a book by Simon Boas called A Beginner's Guide to Dying. Boas, in September 2023, when he was aged 46, was diagnosed with terminal throat cancer. And he wrote about his experience, first in the Jersey Evening Post, then his articles were reprinted more widely, and then he expanded it into this book. Boas wasn't a person of faith. Yet his book reflects on all sorts of different perspectives on mortality, including God and religion. Despite being a book about death, it's not a depressing read. But it also isn't a book that leaves you with any sense of hope. And that hopelessness for what lies beyond death is what follows many around in life today, even if they don't think about it. The attitude of when you're dead, is commonplace. Christian faith, though, can offer something more to the world. It offers real hope. Christian hope isn't based upon just the mere fact of Jesus' resurrection alone. It finds its foundation that along with Jesus' resurrection comes the promise of a new creation. The power through which God renews the entire world, even breaking into our present. Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back into the world in order to take us with him into eternal life. And he sets the pattern for the world to come. This last Thursday was Ascension Day, that forgotten Christian festival. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he ascended as the risen and alive Jesus. And that's how he reigns in heaven as the Lord of creation, and that's how he will return when he comes again. Jesus has set up and shown the way through death into a new life. And that is the foundation for our hope. Those of us who belong to Christ are assured that just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead, so we will also be raised. This is our message of hope to the world. A real embodied hope in Jesus, a hope for the present that leads us into a future with God. We, as followers of Jesus today, don't have the same concern as the Thessalonians. We know that those who are in Christ when they die have a future hope secure with Christ, that they will be raised with him. The centuries have passed and our theology of those who have died has developed. Yet the message of hope that we have in the risen Jesus still needs to be shared, that a hope beyond death is found in Jesus alone and his resurrection. The message of hope that is to be shared with those in their feelings of hopelessness. Not with bravado and a feeling of superiority, but with humility and offering them a gift of grace. There is much in our world that leaves people feeling hopeless. Eco-anxiety has become a real concern for many in the face of the climate crisis, especially among young people. Despair about what is happening to our planet and feelings of inadequacy about what can be done to change the course we're upon. And Christian hope can speak into eco-anxiety with a positive and proactive view of ongoing creation care in our God-given roles as stewards of creation. In the hope one day of us inhabiting a renewed and glorified creation, Christian hope speaks directly into our age of eco-anxiety in a profound and meaningful way. And also today, where the threat of global conflict is bubbling away and increasing, this causes real concern in people. And the Christian message of shalom and peacemaking can interrupt the cycle of violence in the present. And the hope of a future beyond death where war is but a faded memory can be a message of hope to our violent world today. Christian hope can speak into the lives of everyone on different levels as people are facing up to the painful realities of living in this present age. Christian hope isn't a form of escapism from our present struggles, but it's the promise of something that lies beyond, to hold on to sustain us. A future reality which the resurrection of Jesus points towards and says, this is the new creation which you will one day inhabit, that will one day be a day that fully dawns in your life. The day when you will be with the Lord forever. The message of hope that we have as followers of Jesus today is the same message of hope that the Thessalonians had nearly 2,000 years ago. That we have a future secure with Christ if we come to faith in him. A future secure in life and in death. A future secure come war or changing climate. A future secure come life-changing diagnosis or uncertain job future. A life secure with him whether you are afraid of dying or whether you are too busy living. The Jesus who died and rose for you to secure this future just wants people to come to him in faith and trust, to be loved and to experience new life, now and for eternity, bringing new life and resurrection from that which appears to be dead. This is the message of hope that we can experience and share, all for the glory of our Saviour. Amen.